Welcome to the Holly Hibbard Podcast, the place for insights, advice, and real talk for parents of teens and young adults. If you're ready to equip, empower, and encourage your kiddo and yourself for success in our ever-changing world, this is the place for you. My name is Holly Hibbard, and with more than 20 years of experience as a school teacher, leadership coach, and relationship mentor, I know firsthand the unique challenges and growth opportunities that come with raising this generation. Today, as a professional coach and mentor, I help parents, teens, and young adults learn simple emotional intelligence habits they can use to manage their anxiety, cope with stress, and navigate the messy emotional moments that come with growing up. Each week, we'll practice getting comfortable having uncomfortable conversations about all things parenting, leadership, perspectives, and more. Understanding your teen or young adult doesn't have to feel confusing, scary, or hard, my friend. I'm giving you full-on permission to forgive your mistakes easily, ditch the guilt, and regain confidence in your ability to be there for your kid the best way you know how. So let's grow together. Hello, people. Welcome or welcome back to the show. To those of you who are in the trenches alongside me in being with Gen Z or Gen Alpha, depending on the age of the young person that you are raising in your life, today is a hot button topic in such a good way. I think when I have researched what questions are most commonly Googled around parenting Generation Z or Generation Alpha, this one comes up very frequently. Today, I'm going to be chatting with you about three reasons your kid or teen doesn't listen to you. Now, first hear me when I say, if your first thought is, it's because they don't care. They don't care. They don't have respect for their parents. They don't have a genuine interest in what happens in the home or in the world or the amount of work or sacrifice we put in. Hear me out. There may be some instances of that because they are kids after all, but I want to give you some other things to consider that may help you improve your connection with the young people in your life, whether they're your kids or your students. And not only will it help you to improve the connection that you have with them and the understanding that you can have with them, but I want to give you some solutions, some things that you can do immediately that have an impact. Or if they don't have an impact, you then start to learn what doesn't work, right? Because raising this generation, as with being a mentor, a coach, a partner, in relationship with anyone in the world, is not only about knowing what works for that person and you together, but also in knowing what doesn't work for the two of you in that dynamic as well. So without further ado, let's jump into the first reason why your kid or teen doesn't listen to you is they are simply overstimulated. Now, I'm going to be talking about overstimulation in two capacities here, in the first reason and the second reason I'm going to be highlighting with you today. But the first one, I'm specifically talking about technology overstimulation and also a sensory overload from their environment, which may be related to technology and most often is, but also can be related to their interactions with people. It could be things in their environment that are causing that sensory overload as well. I'll go more into this in another episode because someone requested that I tell my full story. I was recently diagnosed at age 42 as being neurodivergent, or as more of you know the term, having ADHD. So as a person with ADHD who was not diagnosed until my 40s, I have learned a lot in recent years about overstimulation, about the nervous system, about how when our nervous system is just tapped or asked more of than it is even able or capable of producing or putting out there, so much can happen inside our thoughts, in our actions or lack of actions. And so recognizing when your kid or your teen is overstimulated can help you to support them in being grounded again, calming down their nervous system so that they can come back to earth. And when they come back to Earth, where they are more present with you, then they are going to hear the things that you are telling them. So let's paint a picture here, for example. So you have a teenage child, or in my case, I have a tween who wakes up early in the morning, and the first thing that happens in the sensory overload or in stimulation is the alarm clock goes off. Now, for some kids, they may spend the majority of the morning in silence as they go about getting their breakfast and getting ready for school or whatever it is. However, most tweens and teens and even young adults and adults at this point, look at what we're doing, right? We probably have either the news on the TV in the background or a podcast or a book in our ears or even just the conversation that's happening between our kids, between ourselves and our significant others. Noise is everywhere. A lot of it is from technology, like I just mentioned, and media, and some of it is everyday conversation. And what happens is all those little noises where we may think, well, they're just in the background. They don't have much of an impact. That is so incorrect. It absolutely has an impact. It takes up some of that bandwidth, some of that area of possibility that allows a person to focus and really hear and understand and listen to what is being said to them. So if you have a young person in your home who is behind in the morning, and let's say they're supposed to pack their lunch for school and they forgot to do that, or suddenly they need a clean uniform for a sports practice after school and they're just now telling you and they're supposed to leave in 20 minutes. There is so much emotion running high here. People are frustrated. People are in a hurry. You've got noise in the background. You may be trying to hurry somebody up. It can be complete chaos. And then add to that, that you have stimulation all around you because of the clocks, the technology, the phone, the music, the Spotify, whatever it is. This takes so much energy for our brain to have it all be absorbed. And what happens is if you're trying to communicate with a young person whose brain is not fully developed, they really don't have the ability to figure out or filter out what information is important in this moment. Is it what mom or dad is telling them they need to do in the next 20 minutes to get out the door? Or is the music from their phone the priority? Or is the text message dinging, the notification alerts going off on their TikTok? Is that more important? Everything becomes this overstimulated blur, a cacophony of sound that they cannot filter through. And they can't focus. And if they can't focus, they may not hear what you are saying. So before we first think, well, they have selective hearing and they're not listening to me. Okay, yes, in some cases that is true. Just pause and take a moment to consider how stimulated is your kid every single morning. And here are some useful ways to quiet that down. Do you have a period of time in the morning where things like TV, radio, music, phones are off limits? Yes, we know for adults, we are told all the time, if you are into personal growth and development, that being on your phone first thing in the morning is not the best way to start our day because it stimulates your brain super early. It stunts creativity. There's so many negative things to it. And if you won't do it for yourself, can we at least set our kids up to win in that regard? Can we make it so that the first 30 minutes or 45 minutes of their day is only noise created by the people in the home and the things that they are doing and not by additives, not by music, not by phones? Can we just turn it off and have a period of silence for an allotted amount of time, knowing that the benefit is it gives our brain time to wake up, to get on board, and then we are truly maximizing our cognitive potential as we go into our work day or our parenting day and they go into their school day. So that is one way that we can work to decrease that sensory overload and to ground quiet down their nervous system to set them up for success. Because if they go to school and their nervous system is riled up from everything happening in the home in the morning, just like they're not listening to you or hearing you, they're likely not going to listen, focus on, and be able to pay attention to and really take in what is being delivered to them at school as well. So a few things to consider there. The second reason that your kid or your teen, your Gen Z, your Gen Alpha, your young adult person in your life is not able to listen to you or doesn't listen to you is because, similar to overstimulation, they are overstimulated because you have overcommunicated. Now, for those of you who are parents, which I think will probably be a number of you, or if you are educators, you know what it's like to repeat yourself and repeat yourself and repeat yourself. And listen, the worst news I have for you today is that repeating yourself is part of being a parent. It is annoying. We don't enjoy it. It is not fun to feel like we're the same thing day after day. It's a Groundhog's Day moment. However, there is power in brevity. There is power in getting to the point of what you are trying to say and then being quiet. And the reason for this is when we go on and on and on and on to do what we think is reiterating why this thing we're telling our kid to do is important, we think we're somehow putting it in their brain that an understanding of why this thing is so important. If I just talk more about it to my kid, it'll sink in. And that is not true. Less is more in this case. Kids are naturally inquisitive. Again, you probably know this. They love to ask the word why, and we hate it. But the good news is when you are brief in your communication, when you can just say to them the most important thing in a couple sentences or less, give the command in a couple sentences or less, make the request in a brief format, if they don't have enough information from what you just instructed them to do or advised them to do, they're going to ask you why, or they're going to ask you a follow-up question. I would rather personally say to my 10-year-old, hey, you're getting distracted. Get back on task. Keep going. People. That's like three little sentences, three little phrases, because I can give her the directive, get back on track. You're getting distracted. Keep going. I notice in the morning sometimes she wants to stop and have these really long conversations with me. It takes her totally off her game. And could I say to her in that moment, hey, I'm noticing you're getting really distracted and you know what's going to happen. You're going to get behind and then you're going to be late for school and then you're not going to get dressed on time and then you're going to get in trouble and then you're going to get grounded. And here's why it's important to stay on task in the morning and you're impacting everybody else. Blah, 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 blah is what they hear. Instead, that is me repeating myself. I don't want to do that. I don't want to waste my energy. I want to do my thing in the morning as well, to whatever capacity I can. But if I keep it brief and I say to her, you're getting distracted, get back on task, keep going, I'm done. That's all I've had to say. And now if she's not clear on what I'm talking about, she'll say, why? Or what do you mean? Or what are you talking about? But here's what's really fun. Most of the time, she knows exactly what I'm talking about. So I am using less energy, less breath, less words, less repetition to get my point across. And it's putting her in a posture, in a responsibility of I have to think and consider what I think my mom is talking about. When we are over communicating to our kids, when we are not keeping it brief, we are not always doing them a service by talking more. Remember, they ask why about everything. If they need more info, they will ask you why. So save your breath. Ask yourself, how can I take what I want to say and make it a shortened version? take 90 seconds, a minute or less to say the thing that you want to say most. Try it out and see how they respond. I think you will be very surprised. You will also benefit in doing this as a communication format in your professional life and in your personal life as well, because when we talk too much, we lose people. We start going off on tangents that no one asked about, that maybe they don't care about, that's maybe just not important in the moment. Nothing wrong with that. And there are people in our life we can go to talk to at length. But the reality here is if you don't want to be repeating yourself with your kid, shorten it up and you will become a more powerful communicator at the same time. The third and final reason your kid or teen doesn't listen to you is because, drum roll please, they don't care. And I probably could have led with that one. And I'm sure a number of you suspected that I would say that. And isn't that the assumption that we can make so easily? They don't care about me. They don't care if I'm stressing out. They don't care that I've repeated myself for 20 minutes. They don't care. It is very easy to jump to that conclusion. And sure, they may not actually care. Something I do want to highlight for you, however, is a story about when I was in my classroom teaching years. And for those of you tuning in newly here, hi, welcome. I taught middle school and high school science for about 10 years. And what I learned with my students in that time is, just like we know young people ask why all the time and they want to know the reason, sometimes they don't ask why, but they want to know the reasoning behind everything. Because if they don't understand why it is important to them, not to us, to them, they are less likely to follow that rule. So for example, when I would start my school year every year, I tried to keep my delivery on the first or second day of school of all of my rules and consequences with my middle school and high school kids. I tried to keep things as succinct as possible, as black and white as possible. Go back to reason number two, keep it brief, keep it simple, keep it clear. However, I also took an additional 30 seconds or less and explained why this rule is in place. Listen to me very clearly. Telling them that the reason why is because I said so, that doesn't fly. It does not. And not only that, it's almost disrespectful, especially to Gen Alpha and Gen Z at this point, because we live in a time in our world that is the most resourceful time ever in existence. They can look up a reason why on the internet in 2 seconds, but you can't take the time to tell them. So formulate it, be clear about why a certain prioritization in your home is in place, why we do things a certain way. So for example, if you want them to put their laundry away in their drawers and you don't want them to shove it in there in a big mangled pile, saying to them the reason why you want them to fold it nicely is because you like how it looks better, that is not going to fly because that has to do with you. That may not be enough to have them shift their habit. However, if you bring it back to a principle or a value, you can say, look, it is tedious to put the things away neatly. And what's important is we're showing you how to take care of your belongings. Because someplace down the road, you will have invested time or money into acquiring these things you care about. And we are teaching you how to have self-respect by taking care of your belongings. And part of that is putting them away in a respectful place so that things don't get tattered or broken or disregarded. And again, not every kid is going to be motivated by that, right? But for some, they'll definitely be more motivated to do something to encourage their own sense of self-respect than they'll be motivated to do something because you said, I said so. That's how you're supposed to do it. So do our best. When you feel like your teen or young adult doesn't care and that's why they're not listening to you, do your best to make your reason why we do things in our home a certain way or in our life a certain way with them, have the reason be about them and a benefit to them. Or here's a pro tip, ask them to describe to you why they imagine this thing could be important. And don't ask in a snarky way, but do your best to ask with sincere curiosity. Well, give me some examples why taking care of the things in your bedroom and putting them away could be a benefit to you. And let them think about it. Remember, their brains are not fully developed. They're going to need time to respond. And what I mean, like 30 seconds at least, they may need to think it over to give you a reason why, especially if they're put on the spot with it. But give them an opportunity to form a reason. Now, none of these are foolproof, okay? I can't say that you're going to have an overstimulated kid by technology, an overcommunicated to kid by you, a kid that doesn't care, and that you're going to do these things and they're going to work 100% of the time. They will not. However, if any of these tools today can support you in having a win in communication and in deepening understanding and connection with you and your Gen Alpha or Gen Z kid or tween or teen or young adult, then great. That's fantastic. And if not for you, maybe your kids' cousins are going through it and you can give this advice to your sister or your brother or your in-law or whoever is around your young people in your life. We've got to keep trying different approaches as our kids get older and go through the different seasons, because every individual is different. And in every season of our life, we are evolving. What used to work will no longer work. And also things that didn't work in the past suddenly will. So keep trying these things, try some new methods. I would love to hear from you if you did implement any of these strategies from this episode today. Can't wait to hear from you. Leave me a comment. And until next time, I will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening. I'm sending you the biggest hug from over here. I hope this episode brought you one step closer to being the leader in your life and family that you desire to be. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to me if you'd take 30 seconds to help others discover the show. Share this episode with a friend or leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Screenshot this episode, share it with your takeaway on Instagram stories by tagging me at The Holly Hibbard. I would love to know what you think. Remember, you are not alone in this journey, and I'm always here to cheer you on and provide you with expert advice and support. Until next time, stay curious, remain encouraged, and keep empowering yourself. You're doing great, I promise.